talking about a home.
From the people who bring you Charleston Home and Design Magazine, the Charleston Home and Design Show, and Charleston's online home show, charlestonhomeanddesign.com, this is Talking About a Home. Talking About a Home is a home show on the radio, featuring interviews with local experts, home tips, trends, and ideas you need to know to make your home better. This is Talking About a Home.
To you, keep on the silver cup. You never know. Yes, I'm back to stay. Well, I'm on my way back home. Get it.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and I want to thank you for listening to Talking About a home show on the radio. This week's home theme song was Lonely People by America, in addition to the great Chris Isaacs talking about a home, and special thanks to today's show producer, Ashley Rowell. In addition to our radio show Talking About a Home, we also publish Charleston Home and Design Magazine, winner of the American Society of Interior Designers Excellence in Design Media Award, and also winner of the American Institute of Architects Charleston Chapter's Honor Award for Journalism. You may also be familiar with the Charleston Home and Design Show, which we organize. It's coming up January 24th through the 26th at the North Charleston Convention Center. And it doesn't feel like it, but fall is here, and the weather will get cooler, hopefully, pretty soon. And then before we know it, it'll be the holidays, and then January will be upon us. And I know we have a lot of business owners that listen to our show, and a lot of home professionals. And if you haven't signed up for the Charleston Home and Design Show, we're counting down. We have less than 20 booths left. And so if you're interested in jumpstarting your sales for 2025, or you just want to make sure that everything continues strongly for you in 2025, give Charleston Home and Design Magazine a call, and we can talk to you about possibly displaying at the Charleston Home and Design Show. You have to have be a home service provider and cater to affluent homeowners. We're very, very careful about who we invite into our home show. But today we've got a great show lined up for you. We're going to be talking with architect Leslie Norton with Norton Design Studio. And then also we'll be talking with Katie Boone with Danko Modern Furniture. But joining us right now is Ashley Rowell. She is editor at Charleston Home and Design Magazine and also the show producer here at Talking About a Home. How are you, Ashley?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me.
You bet. You bet. So here at Charleston Home and Design, we multitask a lot, don't we?
We definitely do.
And why don't you tell our listeners about your job?
So I wear many hats every single day, which does keep it interesting. Before the interview started, Tim asked me and told me he hopes that I'm never bored, and I am never bored. I run our social media, which I'm very passionate about, and I also am an editor, so I interview our clients and get to know them and the services that they offer. And I get to write really special pieces that you can read. And I invite you to pick up our summer 2024 issue, but also we're about to come out with our fall 2024 issue, and it's going to be a really good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we record the intro to the show that you're listening to now on usually on Thursday before, and we're actually. We're actually going to be out delivering the fall issue on Thursday and Friday. So by the time people hear this, mm-hmm. our fall issue will be out. And do you want to just mention what they can find in our fall issue?
So our fall issue is really special and unique. It actually does not have a cover person on it for the first time in a very long time. And that's because the title home speaks for itself. You can find the title home in the 1983 movie, The Big Chill House, along with, what is the name of the other, do you remember the
actors?
Other movie?
The Great Santini.
The Great Santini.
Pat Conroy was the writer author on that, and they turned it into a movie.
Yes. So that home is our cover star, and it speaks for itself. And Michaela, our managing editor, wrote a beautiful piece on the history of the home and how the home stands today. We feature renovations and no demo designs, so it's kind of special. If you are looking to completely gut your house, we'll point you in the right direction. But also, if you just want to change out some furniture, we can let you know some good local home stores for that as well. And we also have a climate-friendly feature, which is good because we are in the middle of hurricane season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and going back to our cover and the cover story, you referred to the Big Chill House as by its given name. So I've been in the South. I've lived in the South for 35 years, and I was asking someone about this recently, is I don't think people other than in the South name their homes.
Mm-mm.
And if you go out to Edisto, for example, all of the houses have names on them. And so this particular home that the Big Chill was filmed at is called Tidal Home, H-O-L-M. And that was featured in the movie The Big Chill, and very famous house, and we're very, very fortunate to be part of that. So pick up the new issue, the fall issue of Charleston Home and Design Magazine now. But I wanted to ask you, you're responsible for our weekly newsletter that is emailed out to folks, and talk about what our newsletter is all about and why people should sign up.
Yes. First, if you're not signed up, head to our most recent issue, page 50, and you can scan the QR code there, or you can find it on our website at charlestonhomeanddesign.com. And it's a quick sign up. All we need is your name and your email address, and we will provide you local projects and design inspiration in one newsletter, and in the other, we will provide sales. Local projects and design inspiration will break down our current magazine, make it really easy to access the information, and get you excited to pick up the full magazine and read even further. And then the next day, we send out on Thursday sales. Typically, that's on furniture, a little bit of a discount there, or on home services. Like fix it 24/7 to help with your air conditioning. A little discount there can go a long way.
Yeah, and we're always asking our advertisers, do you have any discontinued materials or anything that you want to put on sale? And we feature those products and services on the sales newsletter that we send out. So two good reasons to sign up for the Charleston Home and Design newsletter. And very quickly, we're almost out of time, but where can folks listen more to our radio show? They can find it on our website, charlestonhomeanddesign.com, mm-hmm. and
as well as catch us on Apple Podcasts. So it's a great way to listen to past interviews and this current interview as well.
Yeah, and it's packed. It's always packed with great information, good content. So, well, have a great weekend, and thanks so much for joining me, Ashley.
Thank you.
And now we're talking with architect Leslie Norton with Norton Design Studio. How are you, Leslie?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Leslie, take a moment and tell our listeners all about Norton Design Studio.
Sure. I started this business about 5.5 years ago, and I focus on residential architecture. I work on a wide range of projects, anything from a kitchen to a full new construction home. I've got a 5,300 square foot new construction home on Seabrook that is in the permitting process right now. And then I also have a couple of other new construction projects and a handful of renovations and additions.
Well, that's great. That's great. Sounds like you're keeping busy at Norton Design Studio.
We are.
Well, good. Well, I'm looking at your website, nortondesignsc.com. And it says you offer custom architectural design, which makes sense, and also kitchen design and remodel. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I spent 7 years working as a full-time kitchen designer. I worked for Somatic, which is a German company, a very high-end, mostly modern look, although we did have a beautiful, more traditional look as well. They still do. I was actually just in the Seattle showroom last week and got to admire all of the cabinetry. So those 7 years of working with kitchens, bars, butler pantries, laundry rooms, bathrooms, really gave me a strong foundation in cabinetry design and a true love for it. Mm. So I love doing kitchens. If a project I am working on involves a kitchen in any way, I will 100% want to get my hands on it and help design it. As opposed to laying something out that is sort of a general kitchen, I will really get into the specifics with it because it is such an area that I am so passionate about.
Well, I think that's a good a really good idea to hire an architect to design if you're looking to remodel your kitchen, or even if you're building a new house and it's a good idea to talk to someone like architect Leslie Norton with Norton Design Studio, because, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you create the design, and then the either the builder or the homeowner can then take it to, you know, two or three cabinet companies to get pricing, versus going straight to a cabinet company and having them create a design, and then you're sort of locked into using that cabinet company versus shopping it around.
That's right. That's exactly right. And, you know, some of my clients will go to those cabinet companies and they will make some suggestions that will improve the design because they will have something specific that they offer that really makes the kitchen more functional, or there's just a nice little detail that we can pull into the kitchen. But they have a really strong reference of where they want to go. I've also had a client, we did a major renovation addition to her house, essentially changed the whole home. And with it, we did a huge kitchen project, and when she went to the cabinet companies, they tried to make changes, and she was like, no, I already did all of this. I did it with Leslie. I love the way the kitchen is. I want it exactly the way that it was done. And so that gave the cabinet companies a very clear direction of where she wanted to go.
Yeah. If you're turning your house into the home you'll love, you want to make some changes, why compromise? I mean, the homeowner's already talked with you and gotten that perfect design, and so why change it again? That doesn't make any sense.
And because I am both a kitchen designer and an architect, I can really bring the spaces together. So oftentimes to get the kitchen that you really want, you're going to be moving some architectural components. Maybe that's opening up some walls. Maybe it's doing an addition. Maybe it's changing window locations, which is hard for a cabinet company to do. Obviously, that's kind of outside of their scopes. And when you're working with someone like me, we can do all of it together.
That makes sense. And I understand that back in 2018, this old house came to Charleston, and they were working on a couple of different projects in downtown Charleston. And Norton Design Studio was involved with one of the houses down near East Bay Street, and you were in charge of designing the kitchen?
That's right, yes. I worked with the architecture firm Bill Huey, and they pulled me in to do the kitchen design. They gave me the rough space, and we had a lot of fun trying to make a very modern, very today kitchen exist in this tiny little hyphen space between it's a Charleston single, so small rooms, and we had an existing fireplace in there that we really wanted to keep the character of and maintain that historic fabric, but also make the kitchen as big and as functional as we could. So we did some really fun things with Renew Urban, where we left the top of the chimney or the fireplace itself, but put the cooktop into that space and continued the countertop all the way across. So we basically rebuilt it so that we could keep the top portion and use that to conceal the hood. And so it still has that visual connection to the past, but it's a much more usable space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's a hyphen space you mentioned before?
Yeah, Hyphen is a small space that connects one part of a building to another part of a building. It's typically done in a renovation addition where you actually have two separate buildings that are not touching each other, and you build a space that connects them. So oftentimes in older Charleston homes, you had the main home and then you had an outbuilding that was oftentimes for the help. And connecting those provides clients now in their current homes to have much more usable and accessible space where they're not walking outside into an additional building.
I gotcha. And it's a perfect description, calling it a hyphen, because you really can visually picture, the connection between two spaces.
Exactly.
Side note, Charleston County, if you have a detached garage, for example, they will charge you taxes on two buildings on your lot, on your property. So if you connect those buildings through a hyphen or some sort of a walkway, the tax gets reduced.
Yeah, and actually I've done quite a few projects where we've created a additional building, and the conversation is always which one is more beneficial to connect it or to deconnect it. And it really depends on the site. And there are different zoning requirements for a detached building versus the primary structure. And so sometimes it makes more sense to keep them detached so that you can push your primary, that detached structure closer to your property lines. Other times it makes more sense to attach them so that you can get a higher building, a taller roof line. You're not as limited in terms of like footprint, square footage, things like that. So it just depends on what you have.
I can tell how knowledgeable you are about this. That's very impressive. And it's interesting when you start talking with a homeowner about a project. They've been around the block, I'm sure, a couple times, but they're still unfamiliar with the process and a lot of the terminology and things like that. And they really need someone knowledgeable to guide them the entire way. It sounds like you really can you're so knowledgeable, you can help homeowners with that problem.
Yeah, it's really helpful, I think, for homeowners to work with licensed architects versus draftspeople, because we have to go through that training, and we have had the education, the training under other licensed architects, and then also gone through the exam process. And so understanding programming, zoning, all of those things are part of what is required to be a licensed architect. Every municipality is different. So if you talk to an architect, we probably don't have all of this stuff memorized. We are looking it up every time to make sure that we're getting it all right. I usually connect with the municipality at the beginning of project two, just to confirm what I'm assuming is the requirements around that particular location, especially in terms of like flood and setbacks and property percentage, like how much of the land you can actually occupy with buildings. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot that goes into it from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And you have to have that information from the beginning. And so one of the first things that I tell potential clients is, if you don't already have a survey and you're going to change the footprint of your home, or you're doing new construction, obviously, you need to get that survey ordered. And surveys can take several weeks. So it is something that you want to do early.
Yeah, definitely. And so at Norton Design Studio, you folks can also help people with home additions. And that's a very common thing today. People are staying in their homes longer. Maybe they decide, I've got a really good interest rate. I don't really want to move. I like my neighborhood, but I need more space. And once again, if you cut the corner, if you cut corners and you decide not to use an architect, well, first of all, some neighborhoods require that you use an architect.
That's correct.
And then, but if you don't, if your neighborhood doesn't require it, you're really making a mistake, because the amount of money and time that you're going to be putting into this project, it really should start with the design, with a good plan. And can you talk about maybe some of the home additions that you've helped homeowners with?
Yeah, I've done several over the last couple of years. I think I've probably done more additions. Well, certainly I've done more additions, renovations than new construction because it is such a popular way to make your home work for you since we do have a housing shortage and we are oftentimes feel like we're locked into our current homes because of those interest rates from several years ago. And I was just actually at a national residential architecture conference in Seattle that's through the AIA. And this was something that we were talking about at that conference as well. It is a national issue. And so when you are looking at making your existing home work for you, in addition, makes oftentimes a lot of sense if you have the land to do so. And it is a way to stay where you are, especially if you're connected with your neighborhood, your schools for kids. You get used to the area that you're in, you find the grocery store that you love and the dentist that's down the street. And so it's a really nice way to make your house and the location that you love really work for your family as it currently is, and then think about it as it's growing as well.
Mm-hmm. Another little side note, and I've mentioned this before on our radio show, I remember talking to a general contractor a long time ago, and he said, if you're doing a remodel project, always try to add square footage because, you know, let's say your house is worth $500,000, $500,000, and it's a 2,500 square foot house. That works out to $200 per square foot. And let's say you add 500 square feet onto your house in an addition, you've instantly added about $100,000 in equity and value to your house just because you've added 500 square feet based on the square footage cost in your
That's
neighborhood.
Right.
So it's,
and actually, I think it's you not only do you add value when you add square footage, but you also add value when you add bedrooms and bathrooms.
Mm.
So what I see more with additions than it, I think anything else, is doing primary suites, especially in homes that were older and didn't have like a true primary suite. I mean, maybe they had a bedroom with a small bathroom attached, but they didn't have the big bathroom, the big walk-in closet. And so oftentimes we'll take those rooms and use them for kids or for guests and then do an addition for that primary suite and get that big bedroom with maybe we can do higher ceilings or vaulted ceilings in those spaces, get the big bathroom of your dreams, get that big walk-in closet. And so we do a lot of primary suite additions for that reason, because not only are you adding the square footage, which is going to add value to your home, but you're also adding bedrooms and bathrooms, which is going to make you more marketable when people are looking at those specific statistics when they're looking at homes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you are absolutely right. Certain projects in particular add more value, and you mentioned primary suites and kitchen additions and things like that. So not only are you getting the extra square footage that you can count toward the value of your house, but then also it might even be more valuable than 200 a square foot as the example I used.
Most likely it is. Yes. Yep. Especially because I think the cost of construction right now, it's higher than it has been, in the last 5 years. And so I think that we're adding even more value than that $200 a square foot to most homes when you're doing the right kind of addition.
Well, one last point about adding space or remodeling your home. And this is kind of related to the added value dollar value that you get in equity when you put an addition on your house. But especially here in Charleston, why compromise? I know that we have some listeners right now that I can tell that they want a different home. They want something different. They want a better looking home, an updated, a more high performance type home. And, just do it, pull the trigger, because, just think of all the years that you're going to be able to enjoy that new space. And then when you do go to sell the house, you're going to get repaid. Yes, it's going to be, might be a big dollar figure up front to make those changes to your house, but you're going to be confident in knowing that you're going to get repaid for those changes. So you get all those years of enjoying and Christmases and holidays and with your nice new kitchen and having friends and family over.
And have that equity.
Exactly. And then you get and yeah. and you get paid back at you know when you go to sell the house. So
absolutely.
Don't you know there are so many don't get used to suffering. Don't get in that rut where you're just like you know this doesn't work right.
A good place to put our money for the value that we get back for them, especially in Charleston. You know, more and more people are moving here. It's just increasing the value of land and buildings in this area of the country. And so, you know, my husband and I laugh. We bought our house 11 years ago. We did not intend to be here as long as we did, but we have so much equity in our home that it's a nice thing to know is there.
Right. Yep.
And we've also made it ours over those years too. We've done plenty of remodeling and additions to make our house work. So when I'm talking to homeowners and we're talking about that process, I intimately understand it, not just because it's what I do for a living, but because we've done it in my house too. And I know what an impact it can make. And I also know how that process goes and that there's going to be some bumps in the road and I will be here to help you through that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. And, the other thing is, and this goes back to that comment I made about you know homeowners deciding to try to save money and cut corners and maybe not hire an architect. When my wife and I built our house, had our house built 15 years ago, we used an architect, and the architect introduced ideas that we would have never thought of on our own, and in fact in our summer issue, we did a big feature on the architect difference, and and so there really is a difference, and don't, you know, if you decide to go cheap and you know not hire an architect and rely on maybe the general contractor to give you design advice and things like that, it's such a big investment, you know, in your house that you really don't want to take a chance, and you will be so happy that you hired an architect to help you along the way. Because, you know, when we even, you know, when we first moved into our house, there wasn't a day that went by though. We said, so thankful, so glad that we made that decision to hire an architect, because there's just
absolutely
features in the house that we would have never been able to experience if we did it on our own.
Yeah. And I also think hiring interior designers is really important as well, because they are like that third piece of the puzzle. You want a good contractor, a good architect, and a good interior designer, and you want them to collaborate together. And that's when you're going to get those really beautiful spaces. And one of the things that I do with the software that I use is called Revit. It's 3D. So we're able to see those spaces in three dimensions and walk through them. And I will do this sometimes with the whole team, including the contractor and the interior designer. And then it allows them to understand the spaces as well as the homeowner too, and understand them better so that we're all on the same page from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at your website, NortonDesignSC.com. And what's the difference between a home extension that Norton Design Studio offers versus a home addition?
A home extension and a home addition are probably fairly similar. I think an extension is where you're doing something that's a little bit smaller. Maybe you're extending out a wall, bumping out a little space. An addition is doing a much more cohesive project. So there's a lot more pieces probably in the addition. Oftentimes there are two stories. So there's more to an addition, I think, than an extension, but they're similar.
Gotcha. And do you get many customers that are looking to they want to make some changes in their home so that they can live there longer and not have to, you know, maybe go move to a nursing home or an assisted living or something like that, handicap accessible design?
We call that aging in place. And there's a couple ways to approach it. If you are an elevated house, maybe it's bringing a elevator into the home, which usually requires quite a bit of reconfiguring of spaces to make that work, because obviously the elevator needs to line up from floor to floor. So that's one way to do it. We also tend then to make sure that the spaces between cabinetry and the kitchen are wider so that you have plenty of room to maneuver in the kitchen, probably bigger doorways into at least the primary suite, primary bathroom. Oftentimes we're doing a curbless shower, which does require some engineering because your floor structure needs to sit lower so that you can slope and have that drainage of the shower without having the curb, because normally you build up the shower floor. Without a curb, you're actually depressing the shower floor towards the drain. So we'll do things like that so that you could wheel something, a wheelchair in, or also, I mean, even if there's not a wheelchair, it's just easier to get into a shower when you don't have that step over the ledge. So that's something that we do quite a bit. And then sometimes it means that there's also not a glass door on your shower, or it's a much bigger door. And certainly we want to look at the way that doors swing. Sometimes pocket doors make more sense because you can just kind of push them away or keep them open most of the time if you've got mobility issues and you don't want to try to open doors and move through those narrower spaces.
Mm. I might not be using the right terminology, but is it called a wet bathroom? Like where the tub,
wet room.
What is it called?
A wet room.
Wet room.
Where it's, the tub and the shower are kind of one and the same. And I've got a new construction project where we are doing that. It's a really cool space, and we did it on purpose so that one, it helps with just maximizing the open area in the bathroom. And so sometimes it's helpful for arranging everything the way that you want to, but then it also is that big flexible room that can be used by anybody.
Mm. Gotcha. It's possible to make some of these adjustments to your house so that you can age in place and not make it look like it's like a hospital or something like that.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yes. And with existing conditions, sometimes it's a little bit trickier. It's obviously a lot easier in new construction to plan for that kind of aging in place. I have a new construction home right now. I think they should have their permit in hand in about a week. And they really wanted, they told me, a multi-generational home where their children can come back at some point. Maybe their kids are young, but maybe it's after college, they live there for a little while, or maybe even at some point the current homeowners become the grandparents and one of their children moves in and it's their primary home, but they still have a space that would work well for all the generations. So they really wanted to be a family home. So we tried to keep those things in mind from the beginning.
Yeah, that's true. And sometimes it's empty nesters will downsize and they're not really thinking about having the adequate space for family to return for, visits and things like that.
Right.
Yeah, it makes sense. Well, I'm looking at the summer issue of Charleston Home and Design magazine, and Norton Design Studio had a project featured in that. We've got just a couple minutes left, but I wanted to see if you could talk about this project that's featured in Charleston Home and Design magazine.
Yeah, this was a really fun project. We actually had to stay within the footprint of the home because of where it was built originally. It is very close to the marsh, and there is something called an OCRM line, which is a protection zone from wetlands, from marshes, and you most certainly cannot go into those. So we were really constrained at the back of the house and wanted to maintain as much parking at the front of the house. So we stayed within the footprint for the most part. We did extend the kitchen on this, and one of the bedrooms created a bathroom onto what was existing porch, because it is an elevated home. But we took what we had and really tried to modernize it by changing the exterior with paint and new handrails and much bigger, more contemporary windows. It does have such beautiful views at this home as well, so we wanted to maximize those as in addition to just the look on the exterior. And then we did complete moving around of all the walls in the spaces, created a big, beautiful kitchen, really allowed the view to be the primary focus in the living room. And it had probably one of the worst primary bathrooms I've ever seen. And we made it something that is truly beautiful and functional. And talking about that, like aging in space, it had a shower that was like a maze. You walked in and then you had to turn a corner. It was all pink marble. It was teeny tiny. It was so awkward. And then it had a water closet, which is very popular in primary bathrooms, whereas that toilet is in its own room, but the door wouldn't actually open because it was hitting the toilet. So
need a pocket door.
Yeah, well, we moved everything. I mean, everything moved. We took advantage of where the windows were as opposed to kind of hiding them behind something else and really opened up the space. But I think the kitchen and the primary bathroom were by far the biggest changes and really fun to see.
Sounds like somebody didn't use an architect when they originally built that house.
They did not, actually. And I know that kind of the story behind it. It was a contractor who built it for himself and he did not use an architect. And it was obvious.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you say that word obvious, what comes to mind is, and you mentioned using a draftsman before, you know, it's possible to not use an architect and get some plans drawn, but a draftsperson is more of an order taker. They're not going to be giving you advice. And I can probably guarantee that architect Leslie Norton with Norton Design Studio would have said, absolutely not. We're not going to let you build that shower. It doesn't make any sense, right?
It doesn't make any sense. I will absolutely tell my clients things when I think that they're making a mistake. Mm-hmm. I also really let the clients drive a lot of things because it's their home. So if it is not going to be a functional issue and it's a preference for them, I am all on board. Let's make your house yours. But if you're making something if you want to do something that I really think is going to be a mistake, I will tell you.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's some houses in our neighborhood that were not designed by an architect. It was a real estate agent who gave marching orders to a draftsman to, I want 3-bedroom, 2-bath, formal dining room, ta da ta da ta da, all within 2,000 square feet, and the draftsman took those orders but I remember walking through one of those houses and you would walk into this tiny, tiny little formal dining room and there are spaces that I'm sure our listeners have experienced where you walk into and you feel claustrophobic. It's just like a feeling like this doesn't feel right. And versus walking into a nice spacious room with high ceilings or, you know, and even if you don't have high ceilings, an architect can help make the space feel more spacious. And, I just remember thinking this design was ordered by a real estate agent who wanted to be able to put 3-bed, 2-bath, you know, formal dining room on the selling
MLS.
Yeah. And, but it didn't, but if an architect would say, no, that's, you know, once you get a table and 6 chairs in here,
exactly,
you're not going to have any space. It's going to feel too crowded.
Clearances. Absolutely. And so a floor plan that doesn't show any furniture is misconceiving because it's hard to really understand the scale of it. And for most people, they don't stare at floor plans all the time. So it may look fine. But then when you really start to understand the scale of it, it may feel too big or too small. So I oftentimes will ask clients if there's specific furniture that they want to include in their home, whether it's new construction or an existing home. And if there is something very specific that they know they want to use, I will model that and show it in the space so we can see how it fits.
Mm-hmm.
So if they've got this dining table that is grandma's table that they've always wanted, but it's never fit, and we're going to try to make this room work for this piece of furniture specifically, then if they can give me the dimensions, I can show them what that looks like.
Well, that's great. Well, Leslie, tell our listeners how to get in touch with Norton Design Studio.
You can go to my website, which is www.norton-design.com, or you can send me an email. My email is Leslie, L-E-S-L-I-E, at Norton-design.com.
Gotcha. And you can always find Norton Design Studio within the pages of Charleston Home and Design Magazine and on charlestonhomeanddesign.com.
Well, and you can find me on Instagram, too. I should know this, but I think it's just Norton Design Studio.
Okay. Yeah, and I think I gave the wrong...
Okay. You can get to my website either way. The one that you provided is kind of a landing page, but from there you can get to my website. There, it all works.
Gotcha. Norton-design.com.
Correct.
All right. Well, we've been talking with architect Leslie Norton with Norton Design Studio. Thanks so much, Leslie.
Thank you so much.
And now we're talking with Katie Boone with Danko Modern Furniture. How are you, Katie?
Hey, I'm doing well, Tim. How are you?
Good, good. Katie, take a moment and tell everyone about Danko Modern Furniture.
Great. Danko Modern Furniture is in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. This store is the brainchild of the late Dan Hogard, who was an artist and an entrepreneur from Denmark. He and his wife, Joan, started importing Danish goods to the U.S. and back in the 60s, and discovered and fell in love with Charleston in the mid 80s. And they opened the doors here in 1986. The store is still locally owned and operated by their son, Paul Hogard. And we still, in fact, carry some of the same original brands. But over the years, we've evolved into not just modern, contemporary, not just Danish, Italian, domestic. We have a lot of U.S.-made product, Italian, Canadian. So it just keeps, it's fluid. Mm-hmm. Keeps growing.
Oh, yeah. Everything's, looks and styles change, and I'm sure Danko is making adjustments with what people want and everything like that. Do you folks go to a one of the furniture markets up in High Point?
We do. We definitely go to High Point. Paul has been before to Copenhagen and Milan, but it's gotten to the point where if you want to sell in the United States, you're going to show in High Point.
So yeah, that's the place to go.
It's the biggest show in the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Well, how would you describe the look of modern furniture at Danko Modern Furniture?
So modern furniture kind of encompasses a few ideas. The birthplace of quote unquote mid-century modern. Was undeniably primarily in the Scandinavian areas of Europe. So the focus on mid-century in today's market, its popularity, is really between, I'd say, the 1940s and 1960s, with a particular emphasis on the late 60s. But a lot of the modern designs were conceived much earlier than that. Many of the modern classics were created around the turn of the last century. And we offer styles based on the classics up until today's contemporary designs.
Mm-hmm.
And we feature some of the most progressive and successful designers in the industry. But modern is clean lines, also organic shapes that are inspired by nature. It's minimal, it's uncluttered, and it's ultimately designed for the comfort of the human anatomy.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very ergonomic.
So it just doesn't look good. It's comfortable to sit in.
It is very comfortable to sit in. Mm-hmm. It's the seats tend to be, like, seating tends to be a little lower, a little smaller sometimes, but it's not as squishy, so it's more supportive. Your lumbar is taken into account, and it's just very, very livable.
Mm-hmm. I remember Pierre Hogard, who passed away, who was running the store at the time, telling.
Sure, I worked for Pierre as well.
That's right. I recall that. I remember him telling me about how customers would stop in and be interested in like a rice bed, for example, or mm-hmm. something that's more traditional. But that's not what you'll find at Danco Modern Furniture, right?
No, it's not. There's plenty of options out there for that, and you know, we definitely have at all times we have a niche market. Currently, modern furniture is trending again as well.
Mm.
So, and a lot of people are moving here from other areas, as you know, and they're used to more contemporary options too. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, I know that the furniture that Danco Modern Furniture has available looks great in like some of the old homes downtown with the brick walls and everything like that, and the tall ceilings and old heart pine floors. But what about what other styles of homes does Danco Modern Furniture work in?
Oh gosh, we've got customers with all kinds of, I mean, of course it looks picture perfect in a contemporary loft style condo.
Right.
You know, like we've had many customers from the Tides. We've had customers with little bungalows, beach bungalows, East Cooper, West Ashley homes built in the 50s, built in the 80s. It's it doesn't have to be stark and all contemporary, mm-hmm. you know. And it looks great in historic properties. With my favorite thing to work with really is the eclectic mix.
Mm.
When helping customers blend their style. Because they're often the most inviting,
mm-hmm.
And help the homeowner tell their own story, you know, from their interest and their history and their life experiences, and blended with, you know, a new, yummy, comfy leather ergonomic chair and sofa. That's it's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yep, my wife's got her eye on the stressless recliners that you folks mm-hmm. sell, and it's just a matter of time before we pull the trigger and get a couple of those.
They're life changing.
Really?
They are really the industry standard in terms of ergonomics and quality, and a lot of companies, you know, have copied their style, but they don't have the DNA of the true stressless brand from
mm-hmm,
Norway.
Mm-hmm.
It's been around since 1971. The recliners have they started out in the 30s under the umbrella name Ekornes, Ekornes, making mattresses, and they always did make mattresses, but now they are selling them to the United States as well. Mm. And they're kind of a game changer too.
Mm. Nice.
So I'll tell your wife next time I see her.
Definitely. In what rooms does Danco Modern Furniture offer furnishings?
All of them. All of them interior. We don't do outdoor furniture currently, but anywhere from living room, dining room, bedroom, kitchen, office, home office. I would say we have a slight specialty in seating, because that's where comfort's most important. So sofas, chairs, recliners, but we do it all. We mm-hmm. do homes from top to bottom.
Have you had any customers that have furnished their entire home exclusively with Danko Modern Furniture?
Yes, we have.
Wow.
And and again, anywhere from historic South Abroad to on the river at Wando, big old house with the dock, and to a small condo.
Mm.
I mean, it's that's the really satisfying part of working here is just helping people enjoy their homes.
Yeah, I bet that's fun when they say help me furnish my entire house.
It is fun.
Yeah.
Of course it's fun. But you know, it's also fun to say help me fix what I have and
mm-hmm.
work, you know, bring a piece or two in and make it work.
What are some of the best sellers at Danko Modern Furniture?
Oh, well, Stressless, of course. As we noted before, the recliners we've been selling. They also have sofas. They have power sofas, which are very popular right now. Very, very comfortable. Scobie is an old line from the past, and they're still actually manufactured in Denmark. They do mostly dining. American Leather, we do a lot with. They're 100% made in the U.S., out of Dallas. They had hundreds of fabric options, leather options, styles. They have an amazing sleeper sofa that's always voted the best sleeper on the market. And if you live in the Low Country, you're going to have guests. So we sell ton of those. Italian high design, like Bontempi, Caligaris. And I would say those are our top lines. Oh, BDI, can't leave them out. They do amazing entertainment centers and office systems.
Hmm. Yeah, is the sofa you mentioned the sleeper sofa, is that the comfort sleeper?
Yes, it is. You've done your homework.
Well, I'm looking at your ad in Charleston Home and Design magazine, so it's making it easy. Is that comfort sleeper looks very comfortable. Are there any bars that will mess up your back?
No. There are no bars and no springs. It's a patented system on a platform, and it folds in three spots. And so it's just foam on a platform bed, on a platform base. And it's amazingly comfortable to sit on as well as a sofa.
Some of those
no springs, no bars.
Oh, that's good. I think everybody's had that experience of staying at your grandmother's house or something. And
oh gosh, yeah.
is some of those sleeper sofas are a little challenging to open. Is that the case with comfort sleepers, American Leather sleeper sofas?
No, it's so easy, and they've improved that over time, making it from easy to stupid easy. I don't know how much to say. It's pick it up and it just sort of travels itself.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's important these days for sure. Well, good. Well, is there anything else you'd like to add? We're almost out of time.
I think I've covered everything. If you have any other questions, you know, it's, We have a long history here and a long family history of the Hogarths bringing a little bit of European flavor to as a front runner, and it's just neat to still be a part of that and be a part of this community.
And how long has Danko Modern Furniture been in business?
Well, again, Dan Hogarth started in Massachusetts in the 70s,
okay.
Early 70s, and through his passion for travel and sailing, landed here in Charleston, and we have been open here since 1986. Mm-hmm. Started downtown on East Bay Street, and then moved to Mount Pleasant in 1991.
Yep, I remember, 'cause I moved here in 19... 1990, right after Hugo. And I was staying with some friends of mine, and when I first moved here, and two doors down is where Pierre and his wife at the time, Liz, lived, and got to know them. And I had moved into an apartment at Bay Club over in Mount Pleasant, and it was like, I need furniture. And Pierre hooked me up. I had a beautiful teak dining room table, solid wood with solid wood teak chairs, just amazing. Wow. I ended up passing them on to a relative of mine. So they're still it's still in existence, still operating. You
know, Tim, I hear that all the time from repeat customers who come in. I bought my dining room. I bought my sofa here 30 years ago, and it's still great. And that's what we want. You know, we want heirloom quality.
Well, and so much furniture is disposable these days. I mean, it's like some sofas may last five, six years, and you're ready to. So, I mean, if you're looking, you really do get what you pay for, and if you're looking for something that you can have for a long time, I think about my mother. She's reupholstered her sofa and her home up north a couple of times, and I'm like, wow, you don't want to just buy a new sofa? No, it's in great shape.
Yeah.
So that's
kind of that generation too.
Yep.
But yeah, you absolutely get what you pay for. And it's just too important, you know, the time we spend in our homes to not be comfortable. And also
true.
To be good, you know, good for your back.
Mm-hmm. No, that's absolutely right. And you know, I hate throwing stuff away, but if it wears out or whatever, you have to do that. But with a big ticket item like furniture, you might as well get something that's going to be around for a long time. So
I agree.
Well, how can folks get more information about Danco Modern Furniture?
Give us a call, stop by the showroom. Our website is a work in progress and soon to be up and running a little bit better. We're on Instagram and Facebook, and can email us as well. But we, you know, we very much encourage people to come in and try some of our pieces here, because they're unlike other stores in the area,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes surprisingly comfortable and worth it for somebody who's not expecting it. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I do. And you've got a fantastic location. What's the address there?
It's 1035 Johnny Dodds in Mount Pleasant. We're right across from Celadon Furniture and right next to Play It Again Sports.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Very convenient for everyone. Well, good deal. Well, we have been talking with Katie Boone with Danco Modern Furniture, and you can always find Danco Modern Furniture within the pages of Charleston Home and Design Magazine and on charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Thanks so much, Katie.
Thank you, Tim.
You've been listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. To make contact with any of the companies featured on today's show or listen to previous week's shows, visit charlestonhomeanddesign.com. That's charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Please tune in again next weekend.